Bless the Lord who forgiveth all our sins.
His mercy endureth forever.
Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Hear the word of God to all who truly turn to him. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Ye who do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, devoutly kneeling as you are able. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved thee with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in thy will and walk thy ways to the glory of thy name. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Almighty God, who alone canst order the unruly wills and affections of sinful men, grant unto thy people that they may love the thing which thou commandest and desire that which thou dost promise, that so among the sundry and manifold changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lesson from the letter to the Hebrews. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was anointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submissions. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Soon we'll be singing, "Were You There?" So I'd like to pose that same question of you today. What if you had been there? In other words, were you there when God spoke to Jesus and said, "I have glorified you and I will glorify you again"? Now the scripture says that those standing by thought they heard thunder, but others said an angel has spoken to him. And yet I have to wonder what perhaps those closest to him heard. Were you there when he spoke to Jesus about his glorification? For I think those in the crowd who were afraid of what they did not know probably thought it was thunder. And those who were afraid to really hone in on what God said to Jesus thought, well, an angel must have spoken to him. but those closest to him, who perhaps were afraid of the depth of Jesus' commitment to them and his expected commitment from them, may have heard exactly what was said. But in their fear of what they knew was coming, could not discern it clearly right away. Those of you who've been coming on the Tuesday nights, if you were there this past Tuesday, we looked at the story of the man born blind. And we looked at each of the primary characters in that story, wondering about what their blindness or what their dis-ease was. And we decided that the parents of the man born blind suffered from the blindness, or the disease, you might say, of fear. For fear is the opposite of faith. The opposite of faith is not doubt or disbelief. The opposite of faith is fear, especially those fears that debilitate us, that freeze us, that blind us, that enslave us. There are all sorts of fears, you know. There's fear of pain or hurt. There's fear of aloneness. There's fear of discomfort, or the lack of those comfort things that we all feel we have to have. There's fear of losing status. There's fear of the unknown. There's fear of not knowing who we are and what we are supposed to do. But the greatest fear of all, and perhaps the seed of all fears, is the fear of death. For that fear and gives rise to all the other fears. Losing it all is the greatest fear that I think, or at least the source of fear for all our fears. And like the parents of the man born blind, it's tough to deny that fear is not a part of how we live and move and have our being. And yet, the disciples, who so feared what Jesus would have to go through and feared what it might cost them, also went through it because they knew that no matter what happened, they would dwell in him and he in them. For we will dwell in him and he in us. So they were called to follow him in fear and trembling. And thank God at least some of them did so. Fear's an easy thing to say you can overcome, but it's a much harder thing to overcome. So I want to use a very sort of simple and mundane example of a way we can overcome fear. Don't laugh. Try having stewardship of a pet. Because you see, the thing about pets, and one of the reasons that I think it's a good thing for particularly families with children to have pets, is because they're most likely going to die. Think about it. One of the reasons we need to follow Jesus is because we are going to die. And in it, he dies with us. All our fears can be overcome. And part of the reason to have a pet is so that you can experience its death and let it carry your fears of your own death. And one reason I thought of this and bring this up at this time is that just this week, our beloved Machen died. The first dog that Sue and I got together, we picked her up at St. Francis of Assisi's Blessing of the Animals 12 and a half years ago. She was a tiny puppy and a batch of other puppies that had a sign that said, "We need a blessing and a home." And five of the eight pups were adopted by members of St. Francis. And as far as I know, Machen, which means little girl in German, was the last to die. She was with us 12 and a half years. She was the best dog one could ever have hoped to be responsible for. Notice I've avoided using the term owned, because I don't believe you can own a pet. It's impossible to own a living thing. You may control it, you may take care of it, you may love it, you may be responsible for it, but if it's going to die, it's going to die. And if it's got a mind to run away from you, it's going to run away from you. You can't own a living thing, which is why fear plays a part in our stewardship of the pet. Machen was so adorable. And she was a tiny puppy and Sue was working. I would stay home with her and she just crawled all over me. We took her to obedience classes and we even took her to canine good citizen and service dog classes, the beginning, because she was that calm and that wonderful a presence with us. And her being with us fought against our loneliness, our fear of aloneness, our fear of discomfort, because she comforted us in so many ways, and even our fear of death, because we knew that when she would die, she would always be a part of who we are. In her later years, she suffered a lot of hip dysplasia because she was half lab, and labs tend to have hip dysplasia. We had one knee replaced, quite a costly thing, even though we got her as a free puppy. And in the couple of years since that time, I can't tell you how much we spent on medications to try to make her comfortable. So when we left her there on the vet's floor after putting her out of her misery this week, it was a sad time for both Sue and me, but yet a happy time knowing that she had given us so much and we had learned and grown by her presence with us. I've known of folks who've said, "I'm afraid to get an animal because they might mess up my house." I've known of folks who've afraid to get another animal because it hurt so much when the first one died. By the way, did you see at 60 Minutes recently about the cloned horse? The cloned horses? Oh my, that's carrying it a bit too far. But those are not good reasons, as none of the reasons we come up with, that to feed the fear of the cost of what a good relationship gives us. And isn't that what our pets really do give us? A relationship that is reliable, that we can count on, and that no matter what happens, even death, doesn't take away the memories and the parts of our lives that are completed and made whole by the presence of that relationship. And that way, we better know what it is for the way that God loves us. Just like the part in the Old Testament reading today where we are assured that I will be your God and you shall be my people. An old story related to that was told by my Old Testament professor in college. He used to say he would go and look out the window at his son playing ball in the front yard. And one time, the ball went across the street, and he had been told very clearly, "Don't go out in the street." And he said he could hear the two boys, the neighbor boy and his son, talking. And the neighbor boy, his son said, "I'm going to go get that ball." And the neighbor boy said, "Your dad said, you better not go in the street, no matter what." And the professor said, he listened closely, and his son said, "Well, he may get mad and he may punish me, but he won't stop loving me if I go get that ball, because he's my father and I'm his son." Nothing we can do can separate us from the love of God. And that shines forth in the way our pets love us as well. And it should shine forth in the way we love each other and care for each other and are willing to risk even unto death for each other. So I want to close with a song. A song that was written, I don't know by whom, but I heard it from a singer who was here at Nightfall and at Riverbend way back in the 90s when I first moved to town, a guy named Vance Gilbert. And he admitted somebody else wrote it, but I don't remember who that was. It's a song called "The King of Rome." It's about a guy with a pigeon. He named the King of Rome. And here's how it goes. In the West End of Derby lived a working man. He said, "I can't fly, but me pigeons can. And when I sets them free, it's just like part of me gets lifted up on shining wings." Well, Charlie Hudson's pigeon loft was down the yard, in a rented house in Brook Street where life was hard. But Charlie had a dream. And in 1913, Charlie bred a pigeon that made his dreams come true. There was going to be a champions race from Italy. We looked over the maps, all that land and sea. "Charlie, you lose that bird." But Charlie never heard. He put him in a basket and sent him off to Rome. Well, the day of the big race, a storm blew in. 1,000 birds were swept away and never seen again. "Charlie, we told you so. Maybe by now you'll know. When you're living in the West End, ain't many dreams come true." Yeah, I know. But you have to try. You can crawl around your whole life, or you can learn to fly. And when we're living here, the ground seems awful near. Sometimes I need a lift to victory. Well, I was out with me mates for a pint or two. I looked up in the sky. for, well, so let me start that one out. Well, I sat with me mates for a pint or two, when I saw something flash up in the blue. Charlie, it's the King of Rome. He's come back to his West End home. Come out quick. He's perched up on your roof. Well, come on down, Your Majesty. I knew you'd make it back to me. Come on down, me lonely one. You make me dreams come true. In the West End of Derby lived a working man. He says, I can't fly, but me pigeons can. And when I sets them free, it's just like part of me gets lifted up on shining wings. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Stand with me and profess your faith by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 9 in your bulletin. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light. True God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people. Grant Almighty God that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy. Guide the people of this land and of all nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Give us all a reverence for the earth as our own creation, as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our prayer list: Margaret, Jean, Steve, Nicole, Courtney and J.R., Claire, John and John,
Marie, Chuck, Jenny, Martha, Renee, Jane, Brian, Teddy, Richard, Regina, Irene, Larry, Judy, Michael, Joe, Laura, Bailey, Shane, Ed and Pat, Doug and Jenny, Ed, Alberta, Tom, Angela, Jane, Tommy, Zach, Betsy, Martha, Claire, Georgina, Joyce, Bernard, Russ, Jerry, Sarah, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Bill, Jean, Richard, Jackie, Alan, Don.
Are there other intercessions? We pray for members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Sarah Allen, Doug Kemp, and Doug Schwartz. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in the eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Any announcements? That you know that I don't.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Sorrow like this. Give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, who dost bid thy faithful people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that fervent in prayer and in works of mercy, and renewed by thy word and sacraments, they may come to the fullness of grace which thou hast prepared for those who love thee. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ,
and through faith in his blood, we and all like Holy Church may obtain remission of our sins and all of the benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Be filled with thy grace and heavenly meditation, and make one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And although we are unworthy, through our manifold sins, to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this, our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses, through Jesus Christ our Lord. By whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. most heartily thank thee for that thou dost feed us in these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom. And we humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always.